Good morning, and peace be with you. Great to have Diane back with us. Thank you, Diane. Before Lee comes up for the announcements, I want to bring your attention to a part in the service that you've been doing for years and years and years. And just bring your attention to the creed that we recite. And when your pastor comes up and said, let us confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed, and we go through it. And I have to admit that there are times that I seem like I'm on autopilot when we go through it. And some time ago, it dawned on me that the words of the Apostles' Creed are non-negotiable. Every sentence in there is not up to interpretation nor dispute. It is a non-negotiable. I believe in the God, the Father, the Almighty. Right? I mean, and today we're going to talk about Jesus and the origin of his birth. Non-negotiable. So I'm going to invite you today and this week to meditate on the creed. If somebody asks, what do we believe? That's really a good place to start, right there at the creed. You know, it was in fashion to have mission statements, mission and vision statements. Did anybody have to do that at work or get involved in it? There's some laughing, right? And then they're almost as far forgotten as soon as they, you know, be codified and all that. Well, this isn't a fad. The creeds are here and have been for a long time. So if the church ever got to the point where they wanted to have a mission statement, I, kind of a simple guy that way, you know, how about the creed? What do we believe? There it is. So enough of that. Lee, if you'd be so kind as to come and let us know all the information that's important, we'd appreciate it. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, good morning to all.
Good morning.
We're here in our favorite place for Sunday mornings. Missions this month is for all month. This is, we have one more Sunday, don't we? I guess we have this Sunday and next Sunday for the Lutheran Social Services, which helps families that are hurting in Southern California. Food, clothing, temporary shelter, all that kind of stuff. So it's a good cause. They do good work. Bible study, for those of you who are planning on coming this week, please don't. It will not be happening on Tuesday at 11:15, right before Christmas. So, if you have Christmas cards for Pastor or for Ashley, there is supposed to be a box out there. I didn't look, so Christmas, if you want to drop off Christmas cards for them, make sure they get them. Poinsettias. Looks like we got quite a few. Are we still taking donations on that? I don't know. Anyway, okay. Anyway, if you want to help pay for the poinsettias, they're $10 each. And again, leave your money out there. You can put it in the box up here if you've got a spare envelope. We will be having a Christmas afternoon service at 3 o'clock on Christmas Eve. It says Christmas afternoon, but it's Christmas Eve, December 24th, 3 o'clock. If you can help with the assistance, that would be good. Again, there should be a sign-up sheet out there on the table. Birthdays, it was kind of a light month, but I noticed both Debbie and Roger Bice have birthday the same month, and I was looking at that, and I said, I wonder if they met in the hospital when they were born and just never really got together until later. Debbie was early, so I think that means she's older, because Roger was born on the 21st. Isn't that how it works? Whoever comes first is, yeah, okay. That's why my birthday's on the 25th of my month. I got a whole bunch of people older than me. Monica Amundsen, she's not here today. Her birthday was yesterday. So anyway, that's the list. I don't think there's anything else unless someone else has something, well, that I can shout out for you. All right. Merry Christmas to you all.
And also with you. We open up with O Come, Emmanuel. you please stand if you're able? We come together this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say that we are without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake he forgives you all of your sins, and as you're called an ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may quickly be lifted by your grace and mercy. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning and Merry Christmas. Our first reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 10 through 17. You can find it on the Pew Bible on page 1069. Isaiah was a prophet, as you may all know, but my reading here shows how great a prophet he is. Talks about the fall of Judah, and it talks about the birth of our Emmanuel. Verse 10. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test." When Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?" Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. For before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and on your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria Our next reading will be in Psalm 24. If you read responsibly with me, it's printed on page 6. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For the seas established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place?" A clean hand, pure heart. That's in your idol or swear by a false god. "They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior, just a generation of those who seek him, seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Praise this King of Glory, Lord strong and mighty, Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors. Then the King of Glory may come in. This is King of Glory, my King of Glory. The next reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, found on your pew page Bible there at 1746. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised before and through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was the descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to be the obedience that comes from faith, for in his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew from the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Our gospel this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, and can be found on page 1497 in your pew Bible. Matthew records, "This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that is, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus. You know, I think most people would understand Joseph's problem at the beginning of today's reading from the gospel. He is caught quite literally in the proverbial rock in a hard spot. We read that he's already betrothed to Mary. And that's not a word that we use often, but that means that he has made a commitment to care for Mary through thick and through thin, come what may. Kind of like our better for better or worse, sickness and health. He made that commitment. He made that promise. The two of them are, in fact, husband and wife, but at the same time, they had not yet begun to live together. That is really what betrothed means. Married, but not living together. So then one day we read that Joseph learned that Mary is going to have a baby. And he knew that he was not a part of that process. And Mary insisted that the baby was of the Holy Spirit, that the baby was a fulfillment of the prophesied coming of the Messiah. Mary insisted that she had not been unfaithful to Joseph. But such words are hard to believe under those circumstances. You really can't blame Joseph for characterizing these words, perhaps as the desperate attempt of a compromised woman to excuse the unexcusable. Perhaps the guilt, he might have thought, the guilt of infidelity had driven her mad. Perhaps Joseph thought, perhaps rape was involved, and that the trauma was more than Mary could bear. Maybe Mary was just plain lying. You know, the Bible does not tell us what Joseph was thinking. It just says that he was struggling with the truth. And it says that he had finally determined that the best course of action was a quick, quiet, behind-the-scenes divorce. Now in this, hear this, Joseph is what every Christian should be in not exposing the sins of others. In his explanation of the commandment against bearing false witness, Luther gives this to us. Luther says that not only should we avoid lying, But we should also explain things in the kindest way. In broadcasting the misdeeds of others, we bring condemnation upon ourselves. Joseph, we read, was determined to do what was right in the kindest way possible for Mary. And I can only imagine how hard it was to fall asleep that night. And despite this, the Bible tells us that he did indeed sleep, because it says that he had a dream. And in that dream, an angel came to him. And the angel told Joseph that Mary was not crazy and she was not lying. The child that was growing within her was indeed from the Holy Spirit. He was indeed the promised one, the Messiah. The angel even told Joseph to name the child Jesus. That is a name that means the Lord saves. Now, the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to remind his readers that this was the fulfillment of the prophecy that Ed read today in today's Old Testament reading, where we heard, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Jesus woke up, excuse me, just saw the J, when Joseph woke up, he acted on this information. He acted on the information and he took Mary into his house, but he had no physical relationship with her until after Jesus was born. The virgin birth is a hardship on everyone involved. The community at large would not understand the working of the Holy Spirit. They would accuse both Mary and Joseph of all kinds of sin. And then we read, 30 years later, some of Jesus' opponents would try to discredit his ministry by claiming that he was illegitimate. The virgin birth was a burden. Now, at the same time, the virgin birth was absolutely necessary. That's one of those non-negotiables in our creed. Absolutely, it was necessary. It was necessary because the person of Christ is both God and man. Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man born of the Virgin Mary. Non-negotiable. If Jesus had been conceived in the normal way, he would be a mere man and nothing more. His conception by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary points to his divine Father and his human mother. Jesus Christ is one person with both a divine and a human nature, fully man, fully God. This dual nature of Christ is essential for our salvation. It is essential for our salvation. God's eternal plan of salvation depends on the existence of a human being who could live a life of innocence in this sinful world. This innocent human being must then endure, as a substitute, the eternal punishment that sin deserves for each and every member of the human race. There is no ordinary descendant of Adam and Eve that could fulfill this plan. No mere mortal man. God himself must enter history in order to become a substitute, a propitiation for humanity. He must become human. And at the same time, the overwhelming nature of the task means that he must retain his divinity. Christ must be true man in order to take our place under the law and fulfill it perfectly. He must also be true man in order to submit to the Good Friday cruelty of shame, suffering, and death. Christ must also be God in order to fulfill the law to perfection. He must be God so that his suffering and death would be sufficient redemption, not just for one person, but for all of humanity. He must be God in order to overcome death and the devil for us. Jesus is the only one who is both divine and human. And therefore, he is the only one who is our Savior. Now, since it was necessary for Christ to have God as Father and Mary as Mother, then the virgin birth is also necessary. This meant that it was necessary for Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to bear the burden of the culture's unjust condemnation. Today's gospel shows us how God gave Joseph the strength, how God gave him courage to endure this special burden. How? Well, God's word came down to Joseph through the mouth of an angel. And so Joseph was now able to take up his special vocation as guardian to Jesus and husband to Mary. Now in the Creed, we confess this: conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And too often, as I mentioned before, we say these words on autopilot. Guilty. We don't think about what these words mean. But there's a lot to unpack. Lives were turned upside down because Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Joseph almost divorced Mary. Both Joseph and Mary had to endure the condemnation of the community. Jesus had to endure accusations that his ministry was null and void because his parentage was doubtful. And at the same time, these words are necessary for our salvation. These words tell us that Jesus is both God and man, because Jesus is both God and man. When Jesus died, God died. Because Jesus is both God and man, his death paid for the sins of the whole entire world. And because Jesus is both God and man, he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. Because Jesus is both God and man, a human being rules both heaven and earth. Because Jesus is both God and man, his human body and blood are available on altars everywhere at the same time for us Christians to eat and to drink. The Son of God took on our human flesh so that we may be his own and so that we may live under him in his kingdom. As we read today's gospel, it is a good thing to study Joseph as an example of the Christian struggle to protect the reputation of others. However, the more important teaching of this reading is that Jesus must be conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin because he is both God and man. And as the only one who is both 100% God and 100% man, he is the only one who is qualified to redeem us from our sins so that God can declare us righteous, as you heard, righteous for his sake. This is the gift that Jesus offers to you now as you hear this word. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you please stand if you're able? Let us now confess our faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 3 in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As a family in Jesus Christ, let us pray to God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, yet one Almighty God. Holy Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to walk among us, experiencing our joys and troubles, and teaching us about the Father's love and saving grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, who brought us to faith, who spoke through the prophets to warn us of God's discipline when we stray, and who resides within us to counsel us and comfort us when we are in distress. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for focusing our minds and hearts this Christmas season on what's truly important, your love and what you did for us, rather than what we do for ourselves, each other, or even for you. Thank you for slowing us down, quieting the noise of the season that surrounds us, and focusing our hearts and minds on you, our blessings of family and friends, food and shelter, and your creation around us. Thank you especially for your saving grace through your only Son, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate this week. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us when we sleep and our hearts and minds are still and quiet, when the noise and chaos of our daily lives don't drown out your soft voice. Help us to pay more attention to your love in your voice than to the shouting and distractions of the evil one. We continue to pray for our president and all who serve the citizens of our nation at all levels of government. We ask that you continue to shine your light on those who are corrupt, hypocrites, or otherwise serve themselves rather than our citizens. Please protect our nation from our sinful decisions and restore us to be a light in the world. We thank you for healing our loved ones, our families, including our church family and friends, of their brokenness in whatever form that takes. Please heal broken relationships and the impact of that brokenness on the innocent. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us in our hearts when we sin and to also repent of our mistakes and misdeeds. We pray for the safety of our nation. We pray that those deranged individuals who would harm police, other law enforcement officers, and innocent citizens living peacefully in our society would be identified and removed from among us. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones because of evil acts committed in the recent past in the United States and in Australia. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us to teach our children to recognize danger and hatred of others around us and turn away from the devil's influence in their lives and from wherever it originates. You know that we love our children as you love us, so we ask for your divine wisdom as we seek to lead our younger ones into and onto your path for productive and peaceful lives. We pray for the safety of those who travel during this holiday season. Let us all be patient and grace-filled towards others. We pray for the safety of those who serve the citizens of our nation. Please shield all from harm and provide reassurance and peaceful hearts to those who stand the watch while others celebrate this coming holy day. Holy Father, we know that the birthday of your Son and our Savior is a great joyous time with lights, gifts, songs, and family gatherings. We also know that many among us feel profound and amplified loneliness and sadness during this time. We pray that you would help us to recognize those around us who may feel isolated or excluded from the joy of Christmas and share the love that Jesus shared with us. He sought the marginalized and reached out. Help us do the same. We thank you, Lord, for our church family at Reformation Lutheran Church, our Pastor Ken, and for our church family worldwide and in heaven. God Almighty, thank you for the forthcoming Merry Christmas. You have saved us from our sins and showed us the light of the world. Thank you for always being with us from today until we are all with you in heaven. Finally, we now share with you our personal prayers kept deep in our hearts or spoken aloud. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us share the peace. Will you please pray with me? Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts. With them we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new in the day when he comes again to judge the world in righteousness. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and we join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Breaking it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And again, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks. And then he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim Christ's death, his resurrection, and his glorious coming again. Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus gave to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. A means of grace. Means. It's how he delivers and delivers you from sin, death, and the devil. That's what we profess as Christians. That's what we profess as Lutheran Christians. That he comes and meets us here at the rail with grace by what he did, fully man, fully God. Only he was able to do this, and that is forgive sins, that is to rescue you from sin and death and the devil, that you will enjoy a resurrection like his. If this is your confession, and I heard it, and I heard it with through your lips, then come, the table is prepared, the usher will bring you forward.
Bless you.
Bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us continue on with our closing hymn, Joy to the World.